This is Katie. She's fantastic. She's going to play songs throughout the show. Say hi, Katie. Okay, cool. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and we're here to do a talk show. It's called You Meet Them Everybody Live, blah, 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 blah. I am 31 years old. When I was a 16-year-old boy, I worked in a haunted house for 6 weeks, and it was an experience. Who's been to a haunted house? Great. Fantastic. For the people listening at home, a handful of people rose their hands. That's all. It's an audio podcast. We need to clap and make noise and be happy to be alive. Anyways, worked at a haunted house, and I was behind the scenes, which means I was behind a curtain. I was behind a curtain, and it was roughly the size, half the size of this gray carpet of which I am standing upon. I sat in a chair like the one I'm sitting in now, and I hit buttons. When people walked in, I hit the yellow button. When people were in the middle, I hit the red button. When people walked at the end, I hit the blue button. One button made a coffin go. One button made lights go. And then the other button was just a lot of smoke machines. So I did that, and it was real boring. And I had, it was 1999. This is Prince's year. So this is before iPods, before U2 became the best band in the world. That's a JK, guys. That's a lol. Don't believe in U2, guys. That's just a band. It was the most boring 6 weeks of my life because I sat behind this curtain. And after about an hour of hearing people that you don't know scream, you just get completely desensitized. Now, I was supposed to listen to the people's screams, and then those would be my audio cues. That lasted for an hour. I had a tape. I had one tape and a tape player. So I listened to David Bowie's Sound and Vision, which was a greatest hits compilation, tape one every single shift. And I worked 24 hours a week, because it's four-hour shifts and 6 hours, worked for 6 weeks. So I listened to one tape over 100 times, and that's what I did as a 16-year-old boy. Guys, I still love the song Drive-In Saturday. Who knows that song? Perfect. That's how important. One guy in the back. We're on the same page. Me and you, buddy. We're going to talk about atomic war. It's about atomic annihilation, everybody. That's what that song is about. Listen to a lot of David Bowie's a 16-year-old boy and listen to people scream. And then I quit the weekend before Halloween. Because if you want to work at a haunted house, you definitely want to quit on October 28th. The most important weekend coming up. Just quit. Fuck it. I'm busy. I'm not going to be there for the one time you wanted me there. I quit. But I went to the celebratory pizza party, because that's what you do to celebrate haunted houses on November 7th. You have a pizza party for the team. And I had to go because I still had my check. So I finally got to meet everyone else in the haunted house. I was not the people that played Dr. Frankenstein. I was not the person that played Frankenstein's monster. I was not the person that wielded an axe. I was not a person that put you into the coffin. Actually, for 1 hour of my 24-hour shift per week, I got to be the person in the coffin, but they let me do that only for 1 week. Because I fell asleep in a coffin wearing a demon mask. If you ever want to fall asleep, put a demon mask on and go in a coffin. You will knock the fuck out. It is a delightful sleep. I highly recommend it. Anyways, I finally met all the people that worked in the haunted house, the people doing makeup and stuff. And just let me tell you, they benefited greatly from graduating high school about a decade before Columbine. Because every single one of these people would be on a watch list today. They are the type of people that work at GameStop or the type of people that make the games that are sold in GameStop. They are delightful people on the fringes of society. This is in Berwyn, Illinois, a place you never need to go to. It's a place that I'm sort of from. The man that was most affected by the loss of the haunted house, this haunted house was run for about 20 years, but they decided 1999 was the last year. He played Dr. Frankenstein, 40-year-old man, into character. The way he wanted to send off everyone was to do one last performance for literally no one, for the workers. So he got into his makeup, he got into his lab coat, and he delivered a tear-inducing performance. 26 people around me just clapping and cheering and fucking getting it. And then two smart-ass girls laughing their asses off at the freak that's Dr. Frankenstein. It taught me a lesson, guys. Don't ever go to a haunted house. It's really boring. If you liked theater in high school, you should be working at a haunted house. That's it. Unless you're going to go to Hell House and you see a bunch of abortions that get completely botched, that's the only haunted house I recommend. Does everyone know any of those things I just said? Did I just speak a separate language? That's okay. We're going to have a fun time. I like smiles. Smiles are a start. We're going to have a good time. I promised all of the people in the room that Laura will be up here sooner or later. Okay, Katie is here for the duration of the show. She's not coming up now. You're all sitting through the rest of this shit. I know the audience. It's going to be a fun time. Katie's an amazing guitarist, and she's going to be our house band. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Katie McD, everybody. Play some music.
Anything you want at any time. doctor and I sat up in his chair. He said, stick out your tongue, dear. We'll see what we find there. I felt my muscles moving as they moved beneath his thumb. He said, I can see all the bad things that you've done.
Katie McDee, everybody, that was a very good song. Very heavy song. Are you okay? You have a frown on your face.
No, I'm good.
You're good?
I took some Gas X before I got up here, so I'm good.
What did you eat for dinner?
Lentils?
Ugh, disgusting. Coming to the stage is a man who did not eat lentils for dinner, I'm assuming. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the editor of DCist, Mr. Matt Cohen, everybody. Matt, come to the stage, play some chords. I know you're associate editor, but no one respects
associate
that.
Editor, yeah.
Unless you say you're the editor.
Well, you can use the shorthand with the commenters use, ass wave.
Yeah, you have commenters.
Oh, God, we do.
Okay, so does everyone in the room know what DCist is?
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's part of the Gothamist Network, blah, blah, blah. You guys are notorious for your commenters.
We have a what?
Commenters. Why do
we have a lot. We have... Yeah.
Are you encouraged to interact with them?
It's... By a case, I mean, if you want to, you can.
Do you want to?
Do sometimes.
Why would you ever want to?
You know, if I want to call them out on their bullshit.
But does that ever end well?
No, never does.
Then why do it?
You got to moderate. I mean, we have to read the comments because there's a lot of sexist and racist stuff that goes.
Still?
On. Yeah. Credit where credit's due. There is a few very longtime commenters who are very vigil about making sure none of the bullshit goes unnoticed and calling out.
Would you ever comment on any story ever?
Like if I didn't work for the site?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck no.
Then why do you respect any of these people, even if vigilant?
I don't. I mean, well, they bring it to our attention when there are, you know, people saying sexist and racist.
What's
stuff.
The one that you remember the most?
There's one commenter, Triple E.
Triple E.
Yeah, they all have weird pseudonyms that I don't. They're just deep inside jokes.
Do you think he's a fan of ecstasy or wrestling?
Probably both.
That's cool.
Wrestling on ecstasy.
That'd be a different sport.
Here's the thing about the commenters. They have been commenting since the beginning of DCS 10 years ago. It's such an ingrained culture. They have monthly happy hours.
Are you invited?
Oh, yeah, everyone.
Do you go?
I've been to one.
How was it?
Fucking weird.
Explain.
I mean, you know, they're all, longtime D.C. residents in, their mid to late 30s, early 40s.
And you are not.
And I'm not. And they all are basically NIMBYs. And
Wait, what's a MIMBY?
NIMBY.
What's a NIMBY?
So, you know the acronym, Not My Backyard?
No.
NIMBY. NIMBY, Not My Backyard, you know, basically people, longtime D.C. residents.
So they would not like me.
What's that?
They would not be a fan of me.
Probably not.
That's okay.
The whole BYT culture is they're Rommel, why are you destroying my city?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I work for BYT. That's why he's saying that. That's that's a thing we do. You're not from here either. Where are you from?
I am from here.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Salisbury.
That's not here.
I mean, was born in D.C. and I grew up in Rockville.
No, but where'd you go to college?
So Salisbury. Doesn't mean I'm not from there, though.
Why did you go there?
State school, and I had shitty grades.
Oh, okay.
School.
That's cool. Yeah. What was your major?
Film studies.
That's what I wanted to talk about. So how did a film studies major become an editor of a site people read?
That is a really good question.
Thank you so much.
I'm still trying to figure it out. I kind of graduated college and was just man, what do I do now? Shrug emoticon, and then, just kind of...
So it was your emoticon love that got you a job as an editor?
Yeah, basically. No. I don't know. I love movies. I studied it, and...
Do you want to be a film director? Do you want to be in film criticism?
No, I mean, I did for a while, but it's kind of it's kind of a dying industry. Having aspirations to, be a full-time film critic is, not at all... realistic in 2014.
But it seems that you're in a job that's relatively safe.
Yeah,
you're in
one
part of the media that doesn't seem to be going away.
Yeah. And I like it. I think I kind of accidentally fell into journalism.
Continue.
I was writing about movies. I started writing for some, lower sites, then I started writing for better sites, and then I started writing about other stuff and then I was working for Living Social for a while, and that was and I got laid off. And
so you're rich because you worked for Living Social.
Filthy.
Do you know anybody that became sort of rich but then now is just broke?
I got hired like way after. I worked there for less than a year.
Okay.
When they had their mass like layoffs, and I was like, got paid less there than I do at DCS.
You probably don't want to talk about how
much
you make.
Yeah, I don't
want
to talk about that.
Now, how much did you make at Living Social? What did you do for Living Social?
I got hired to do their social studies blog, their DC blog.
That
I
makes
worked
sense.
Worked on that, trying to make viral videos and writing stuff. And
did you make any viral videos?
We made the helped make the shit DC people say video. Which
that's good.
That's kind of.
Were you there at the time?
Yeah, I mean,
you should be proud of that.
Well,
are you?
I mean. It's sure.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's good. It's good to be proud of things.
Yeah, it's good to be proud of
You're
things.
Also in a band.
Kind of.
Wait,
kind
how of, are you kind of in a
well,
band?
Well, one of the dudes moved to Chicago, so we're kind of not. I'm actually booking our farewell show.
Where's right that going to be?
The Pinch.
Oh, that's boy.
Yeah.
Isn't that a venue good. That your blog criticizes as bad?
Yeah. Well, no, we criticized a company that they worked with. I don't think the people at the Pinch really kind of. New, I think
no,
this company
think
kind of like, hey, we're gonna help bring people to your show, and then, you know, no one really knew that it was like, this is like a really corporate San Francisco like, you know, tech thing that's just kind of trying to capitalize off of a scene, and it's
yeah.
kinda real weird. But yeah, I don't. I mean, as far as I know, I've worked with the Pinch since then,
so and they're good.
Yeah, they're great.
Pinch is good people.
Yeah, they're good people.
Any idea when that last show is gonna be?
December TBD.
I'll try to come.
Yeah, it'll be.
You're so proud of it.
Oh no, it'll be. I mean, yeah, I. It's my dumb punk band. I don't know. It's I.
But here's the thing. How old are you?
26.
I'm 31. You should not be in a dumb punk band. You should
no,
definitely.
No, I know.
Yeah,
I've always been in a dumb punk band. That's been like since I was like 16.
That's how it should be. Don't
yeah.
quit this at all. Even when
no,
this, I know this guy's moving, but like
well,
you
I'm
need
not
to
quit it.
You need to be in another dumb punk band.
I have
at least 30.
I have numerous ones in the work. See, here's the thing. Like, I grew up in dumb punk bands playing with other dumb punk bands, and now all those dumb punk bands I played with are, like, fucking touring the world.
Like?
And, like, I mean, you know, with friends that are...
No. What name bands?
I don't want to name drop. That's
I'm going to name drop. See, I was the guy that booked, like, church basement shows.
Yeah.
And do you remember the band Spittlefield?
No.
Good job. I used to be like the guy that booked like Fall Out Boy, even though I didn't
yeah.
like Fall Out Boy, just because I knew they would bring.
Yeah.
So like, I completely get it.
Yeah.
Do you want that life at 35? No, probably not. But it's fun to do now. You're preventing a midlife
sure,
crisis.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not ruling it out. I think I like kind of fell into journalism really quickly. I didn't have that period of like, oh fuck, graduate college. What am I gonna do? Like,
yeah.
And like now, all my friends are like touring with really rad bands around the world, and like.
And they'll be like asking you for
them,
a job in
like
a
like,
year, though.
Yeah, probably.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Do you like your job?
I do. I like it a lot. It's a great job.
What's your favorite thing that you've learned since you've become an associate editor at DCist?
Twitter.
What about Twitter?
Oh, just you got to be on it constantly.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Are the editors of DCist also in charge of your social accounts?
Oh, we're in charge of everything. It's two people that run literally everything.
Yeah. What do you got, 16 posts a day, something like that?
16 to 20, depends.
That's a lot of posts.
It's a lot of posts. We try to do it.
When you have contributing writers that are like, I got writer's block, do you just laugh at them?
They don't ever really say that. They just
good
kinda,
for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
What can
kinda,
I be doing?
They send it when they're ready, and we're like, all right, well, I guess we're going to put this up.
What's the favorite story you've written? What's anything that's actually changed anyone's mind?
I don't know about change everyone's mind, but I think my favorite story I've written was for the city paper before. You spilled your coffee everywhere.
I sure did.
Oh, we'll continue. No, it was about a year ago when I was unemployed, because I grew up in the area. I was really into the punk and ska scene when I was growing up. So I did an oral history of DC ska, which was kind of meant a lot to me, and it was a lot of fun.
It is kind of weird that there is a ska scene in DC.
Well, not so much anymore, but in like the late 90s, early
aughts.
No, but
I thought there is now, like Kill Lincoln and all
those
guys.
There's Kill Lincoln.
Is that the only band? Is that
yeah.
the only reference
well, there's
I have?
The Pie Tasters who've been around forever. Yeah. But of like new young ska bands, there's pretty much Kill Lincoln, who are really good friends, and my band played with them many times, and they're awesome.
What's your favorite thing to write about?
Music.
You guys do a decent job with that too.
It's gotten better lately. Yeah.
What are some bands people need to know about?
Two Inch Astronaut, probably one of the best DC bands right now, and Pygmy Lush.
Pygmy, I don't know Pygmy Lush.
So,
oh God,
I should know them, or I shouldn't know them. Oh, Pat says, okay, I know Pat Walsh has great taste. I believe him. I should like Pygmy.
If Pat Walsh approves of a band, then you know it's good.
Pygmy Lush. How many people are in Pygmy Lush?
It's a rotating cast of people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less.
What do they sound like?
They're post-hardcore.
Ooh.
It's basically, they're like one of those legacy bands. A couple of guys were in this band from Sterling, Virginia in the late 90s called Page 99.
Okay.
They're like this hardcore band, and they just, after they broke up, they formed Pygmy Lush, and it's kind of like, sometimes they put out like really fucking brutal post-hardcore stuff, and then sometimes they do like dark folk music, so you kind of never know what you're going to get.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Check them out.
Do you think they'll play The Pinch?
They played The Pinch. I've seen them at The Pinch.
I'll go to see them at The Pinch.
Yeah.
I've been to The Pinch a few times. It's a weird spot.
It's kind of awesome, though.
It's
like someone's basement that's
yes,
like
it is.
Someone's awesome basement, not like the shitty, hey, I think that's going to fall down and hurt someone. Like a really cool basement.
I've seen a lot of bands I would have never seen in any other traditional venue
at
The Pinch. That's just a good thing.
Yeah. Maybe the Foo Fighters will play there. Who knows?
Oh, God. Okay. So I don't know if anyone in the room knows this. Matt, because he works for DCist, and me, because I work for BYT, we can get anybody into that Foo Fighters show if you want. So just
literally
after the show,
all of you.
100% of the people. You just come up to us. We'll get you on the list. It's super easy. Black Cat's totally fine with it.
Everyone here will 100% get into the Foo Fighters show.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to have a good... Foo Fighters, butt rock or not?
Butt rock until, like... Or no, not butt rock until, like, I don't know. What was the album after Shape or Color? They haven't made anything good in, like, 14 years.
The Color and the Shape is an amazing record. The B-side on that album, the title track, which was only on the imports, is amazing. You want to talk about Foo Fighters B-side some more?
I mean, I don't know enough about Foo Fighters B-sides, but I'll entertain you if you want to.
How I Miss You, which is off Alone and Easy Targets. No, sorry, this is a Call single. Holy God, that's just an amazing, super simple.
Oh, yeah.
If they just released those two records, that'd be the album that Pitchfork would be like, play that at our festival.
Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah.
They have such good B-sides from like 97 to 98, and then they had the Down in the Park song, which is a cover on the X-Files soundtrack. So good.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what fucking happened. I think Taylor Hawkins is the problem. He's the blonde drummer. He
used
to be in
Reliance
Force, that's band.
He wasn't the one that was in Sunny Day Real Estate, was
it? No, that's Nate, who doesn't ever seem to want to be there.
Yeah.
Nate wishes he was still in Sunny Day Real Estate.
I think we all wish he was still in Sunny Day.
See, that's the difference, though, because he's a solid... He's the only consistent member.
I know.
I do like Pat. I like that Pat gets a check now.
Yeah. Pat Smear's in there.
Yeah. He plays with shoes now, though.
He plays what?
He used to not play with shoes on.
Oh, he plays with shoes. Oh, sell
out. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Those big arena stages require shoes.
Maybe that's why Weezer kind of sucks now.
That's why they suck now. Not because they've just
Pat
been
started
by...
Pat left the band and took shoes with him.
No, Pat's in the band.
Is he still in Weezer?
Pat, the drummer? I'm talking about Pat Smear was in Nirvana and then Foo Fighters.
Oh, okay. We're talking about different Pats.
It's Pat, everybody.
Pat Walsh is in Foo Fighters.
Pat Walsh is in Foo Fighters. Well, this is an okay... It did. It went okay. You did well.
Thank you.
And I asked questions, technically.
You did. I didn't know. I mean, I came with zero expectations, so.
You do a really great job. It's something that's really hard to do, and I don't think a lot of people realize how hard it is to do.
Thanks.
You got anything coming up that's, like, big in the works that you want to promote?
I mean, there's an election on November 4th.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care about that.
I mean, vote.
Why?
Because you live here?
Dude, I did a zine reading with Ian MacKay in Iowa for a zine conference in, like, 2000 or something like that. And I read a poem, an erotic poem about how R. Kelly was a rapist. And then my friend read a 5-minute diatribe about how you shouldn't vote. And then Ian MacKay went on stage. It was great. Oh, by the way, between after my erotic poem and while she was saying people shouldn't vote, I spilled a half pitcher of beer onto Ian MacKay.
Oh,
it was pretty cool, guys. I'm from D.C. now. I get it.
Pitchfork probably reported that, like, Ian MacKay totally drank.
All right. People should follow you where?
On Twitter.
Yeah, but your name isn't your name. It's
at @Matt_D_Cohen. It's kind of complicated because there are a lot of Matt Cohens in this world.
The like main Matt Cohen has like 111,000.
He's an actor.
Oh,
yeah, it's real weird.
What does he do? I mean, actor, but like in what?
I don't know. I just know he's an actor.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, follow that guy on Twitter too. He seems like a cool bro.
Yeah, probably.
Thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Matt Cohen, everybody. He's a good sport. Katie, you ready to play our next guest on?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is actually cool. Just let this keep playing. Our next guest is behind this amazing, like, neat media website thing. She's cool. That's loud as shit. That's awesome. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Marissa Long, everybody. Marissa, come to the stage. Take this seat. You need this microphone. There you go. We're all good. Marissa, how are you physically?
Physically, very nervous.
Why are you nervous? Don't be nervous.
I usually don't have conversations that are filmed or taped for podcasts in front of 50 people.
Things change. You're at that level.
It's changing right now.
I got an email from you a few weeks ago about this new project that you have going on. Actually, a few months ago. And I read the description. It sounded amazing, but you didn't have a product yet. And then I said, please follow up with me. This looks amazing. You did, and it is amazing. What is that project?
Thank you. The project is Great Big Iceberg, which is a website that publishes what we refer to as albums that feature a few individual artists per year and attempt to detail their lives and work.
The way I could describe it is Pitchfork, second time this has come up today already, sorry about that, they do these interesting interviews with certain artists and they change their entire format. It's like HTML5 or something like that. I don't know the back end for your site, but it's this nice What do you know it?
I also don't know the back end for
Fair
our site.
Enough. That's not your job. Don't worry about it. But it's this interactive storytelling form. It's like a mixture of that and like a This American Life with some like some small video vignettes and some original artwork. It's incredibly ambitious. What made you want to do this?
Thank you, first of all. It's something I've had in the back of my mind for a while. I'm just, in general, really fascinated by learning about what's behind artists' work.
Okay.
I've always really loved artist critiques and just really like getting into it with artists. And
when you say artist critiques, what are you referring to?
That's so that's when, like when you're in art school, you will have like
you enjoyed that?
I did actually love it.
Isn't that usually what most artists dread?
I think a lot of people do hate it, because you do, sometimes you get ripped apart, but
fair.
Have
you seen that happen?
I've seen it in person.
And that's why you're a huge fan of it. You just want
it's my favorite thing.
That's cool. So you're ripping people apart or the opposite.
Yes.
You're highlighting people that you really enjoy. Now, the first artist on your site, he does like art. Like he's not an abstract artist. He does paintings and stuff like that.
Well, abstract art is art too. I think.
But no, it's not. Let's be honest. Sorry, okay. I'm being a dick.
Fair enough.
Miranda July is no artist, ma'am.
He's an illustrator, a watercolor illustrator, and he is really big into comics, and he actually makes things out of wood, like toys and all kinds of stuff like that.
In addition to just showcasing the artist, what I found really interesting is you actually tell like the backstory of this guy's life. And I asked you this, would you highlight an artist that isn't willing to share their backstory?
Right. I would. I would prefer to, you know, learn as much about the artist as possible because it sheds a lot of light on who they are, and we're kind of trying to get at what's behind their work. And but no, I wouldn't turn somebody away. It's really all up to them what they want to share, and that stuff's very private.
So. Do you like art more if you know the backstory, or does it ruin the magic?
No, not necessarily. I always, if I'm interested in something, I kind of want to know everything I possibly can about it. I know what you're saying, but I think, I think it can make it more interesting.
Okay. Now, are you an artist?
I am.
What kind of art do you do?
I do mostly photography.
Would you ever highlight yourself, or is that too incestuous and too weird?
I think that would be too weird. I wouldn't do it.
But if someone else had a site like Great Big Iceberg and was like, hey, Marissa, we should highlight you, you'd be totally down.
Sure. Are you offering?
No, I will never put this much work into anything this artistic. What you do is incredibly beautiful. It's weird to describe something that's on the internet as beautiful. But it's... Yeah. I kind of wish it was like a journal or like something paper I could buy and like give as a gift. You can't give away what you do. Well, it's free. It's just take it.
Right. That's really nice. Thanks. In the interview we did on Brightest Young Things, I talked a little bit about that. I really do love print, and I kind of wanted to carry over some of the feeling that print has with it being interactive and having sort of a tactile quality.
All right. How about this for your future Great Big Iceberg? How about for the next issue? Because you consider them issues, correct? There's parts.
They're albums.
Yeah. There's like four. You've got four albums in this issue. Is that
there's
it?
Four parts to each
four
album.
Parts to each album. Mm-hmm. How about for the next album, you like get a space and you curate the space and let you and the artist curate all the other people that they like, and then people could come and like interact with the things that you've created. Because I would have loved to have like sat down in a very small black box theater and like watch a video with like the water thing you had going on. You should check this out on Great Big Iceberg. This, like, there's this water audio, but it, like, mm-hmm. I could read. You would just have somebody read the audio of the text and sit in the room and watch that. Does that make sense?
That's a really cool idea. I've thought about doing like maybe once a year I could do a show that is with one or more of the artists that we do that year, and I've thought about putting out print stuff eventually, but that's a really cool idea.
How many albums do you plan on doing per year? Because this seems incredibly intensive.
Yeah, so this was our first one, and it took a really long time. It took, I've been working on it for at least 6 months, I think.
But I'm assuming a lot of that's like back-end HTML stuff that you just, and now you have the format,
yeah,
it's going
to
be easier?
Yeah, now we have the format, and I'm hoping to streamline it a lot the next time.
Yeah.
So, but I think for the first year, I definitely am trying to not do more than three, but ideally, maybe eventually four.
That's amazing. Is there anything that people could do to help you out, or is this just like a one-woman operation? I know you have a coder and all that stuff, but like, what goes into this?
It's a lot of it is just me visiting with the artist and talking with them and kind of recording things and going back and forth over email a lot because I'll ask them to expand on different things, and us kind of making media together for the album. And then Victor, who's the designer, who's back there, he's the one that puts it all together. And
well, you did a great job picking Victor, and Victor did an amazing job picking you. The way I'm going to start selling it to people is like a mixture of like an Alan Lomax and a Ken Burns, but then there's this collaboratory effort, sort of like when Jay-Z and Linkin Park got together and just made that amazing art.
That's what I was going for.
That's what I'm saying. Do you ever feel disappointed as an artist that you'll never sell as many anything as that Jay-Z Linkin Park collaboration?
Every day.
Isn't it sad?
It's really heartbreaking.
Over 10 million records.
That's
sold
bananas.
So good. Is that your favorite album?
I'm glad you brought that up because I really wanted to talk about it. It is my favorite album.
That's awesome. Name the album.
I just want to keep it close.
It's a personal. It's a personal, intimate album. You want to go to the acoustic tour? Would you go to that tour as a JK? I'm sorry, that's mean to you. Okay. Would you ever want to like recommend doing this to anybody else?
I mean, sure. I'd recommend if you're very interested in it. It's a lot of work, but if you're stoked on it, then.
Well, I hope one day you can make money on this thing because it seems really hard to do.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not making any
money.
You should
get a grant, like the DC Public Library or something should be giving you some dough.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I think I just turned this interview as like a managerial and like instructional.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring you on board.
I think, oh man, you would be, remember that Corcoran Unplugged series or something like that?
I think so.
It's gone now, obviously. Mm-hmm. You in a museum with like a Great Big Iceberg, like part of the event. Oh man, let's get you in touch with the Hirschhorn because like the whole Zola Jesus thing that just happened, the after hours thing.
Uh-huh.
It would make sense if you had a presence there. Now this is just marketing. I apologize for this. I really like what you do.
Thank you so much.
People should check it out. Google Great Big Iceberg. I don't even know your URL.
Yeah,
I just have
just,
the site.
If you go to greatbigiceberg.com, you'll find the album.
It is so neat. Please check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, she did a fantastic job. Please put your hands together for Marissa Long, everybody. You did an amazing job. Fantastic. We don't usually do anything that like serious or whatever, but I think she's a fantastic woman, and the project she's made is absolutely great. All right, you ready to play this woman on? Perfect. That's actually wonderful. She came all the way from here, but she hasn't been here for 7 years, and she's the person you're here to see. Ladies and gentlemen, give her a warm round of applause. Put your hands together for Laura Ming, everybody. Laura!
Thank you. Thanks, Brandon. Thanks to all of my former sorority sisters for coming out tonight. Appreciate it. My name's Laura. But from the looks of this crowd, y'all recognize me better as Darlene from Roseanne. That's what I thought. Well, I'm not hanging out with Jim Parsons or chilling on that talk show that is not The View. I'm here making jokes with all of you, so thank you so much for having me. People have been telling me that I look like Darlene from Roseanne since I was like 3 years old. It was always like some really overeager white people that came up to my parents in a public place, you know? And then I really thought the trend would wane sometime in the late 90s, but thanks to the power of syndication, we are still going strong. I just posed a couple months ago in an elevator of a DoubleTree with two maintenance workers in Richmond, Virginia. Oh my God. We are so excited to be getting in our picture with our favorite movie star. We are such big fans. She was adorable because they're such big fans that they actually thought I was Darlene from Roseanne. And they thought that Roseanne was a movie. Aw. So I'm not from D.C. I'm visiting. I live in New Orleans.
Yes.
Good. Cheers. Sick. And so, you know, I have a lot of friends, obviously, that live in D.C. I can't ask any of them what they do anymore. I don't know what any of them do, but it's been too long for me to ask again, you know? Like, I just didn't know the first time, and now it's been, like, 3 years, and I can't ask again. It's like every time I talk to one of them, I'm like, hey, so what are you doing again? They're like, I'm a systems analyst for, like, a project management firm. And I'm like, cool, what does that entail? They're like, oh, I'm, like, working on marketing initiatives. I'm like, for what? They're like consulting. I'm like, whom are you consulting? And they're like lobbying firms, Laura. Just get it. And I'm like, bitch, I don't get it because you're just saying buzzwords. You know? But I live in New Orleans. Y'all want to know my favorite quirky thing about Louisiana? Yeah. It's the fact that our radio stations are still playing that song where Kid Rock sings over the tune to Sweet Home Alabama. I know that y'all know which song I'm talking about. It's the one where he forces us to imagine him having sex by a lake. Making love out by the lake to our favorite song. So the part of that scenario I like the least isn't the public sex factor. Rather, it's the fact that because they are next to a lake, I imagine that Kid Rock's hair is wet and just woof, you know? I think that Louisianans are just the only people that really get the beauty in that ballad, you know? We were trying funny things, and we were smoking funny things. Like, that's the essence of poetry right there, you know? Nothing rhymes better than the same thing said twice. You heard it here. The first time you hear that song, you think, if you're like me, you think like, man, what a sick Southern anthem. Until he hits you with the line, it was summertime in Northern Michigan. Touche, Mr. Rock. I wasn't expecting that. And drinking whiskey at the bottle, not thinking about tomorrow. We know you weren't thinking about tomorrow, Kid Rock, because that's the last we've heard from you since 2005. I'm just kidding. He was on the Mitt Romney campaign. He is relevant. He's relevant. If you couldn't get from my cool Kid Rock reference, I don't really understand men very well, you know? Boys are just an enigma to me. And when is the line drawn? Like, when do boys go from saying things like, your epidermis is showing, to, girl, I want to lay pipe in that ass. Where's the line, you know? Like, boys are just gross. Like, the other day I was running through downtown New Orleans and there's a guy, like, lying on the side of a building and he was just like, hey, lady, make out with me. So I slapped him and told him to go back to Illinois because that's what Jezebel.com told me to do in that situation. I don't know what it is about running, you know? Like, maybe it's just, like, the, like, intense jiggle of my thighs or, like, the flush of my skin. I guess it just looks like how I look during sex, you know? But boys just love telling me how great my butt looks when I'm running, you know? I've seen so many boys become young men in the moment when they scream at me out of their mom's car, you know? Like, I didn't even know that Landon kid deserved his driver's license until he screamed, yo, suck my dick, bitch, at me out of his mom's Lexus. Like, I think the best example of this I have... one time I was in the park and I was getting a sip of water and so I was bent over and all of a sudden I felt somebody else's pelvis touch my pelvis. And I turned around and looked up at the tallest man I'd ever seen and he said, shorty look good in them shorts. And all I could muster the strength to say was, thank you, sir, that's really kind. You know, but then I was blushing because shorty does look good in them shorts, so thank you, sir. So some of you know I am a college admission counselor. That is why I'm in town tonight. And I am happy to present to all of you the top 10 worst essay intros written by basic bitches. So here we go. Number one. When I went to Guatemala and saw poor people, I knew I wasn't poor. Number two. When the coach put me in for the big field hockey game against Phillips Exeter Academy, I knew that it was the biggest moment of my life. Number three. That's a big fucking moment, man. You better man up. Number three. My hero is my grandma. Number four. My dead dog is my hero. Number five. The beauty of India is more than meets the eye. Number six. Recycling is a program started by Benjamin Franklin in 1813. Number seven. I would not be where I am today without the song Firework by Katy Perry. I wish I were making this up. Number eight. New Orleans is like gumbo, the perfect mix of jazz and Cajun flavor with a bit of sass sprinkled in. Number nine. You haven't lived until you've attended the March for Life in Washington, D.C. That's as real as it gets. And number 10, the book that has most affected my life and shown me adversity is Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I'm gonna do one more thing before we get off. Recently I was at a bar and a lady came up to me. She was like, "Damn girl, you need to dance like you fucking somebody." And I was like, "Wow, that sounds great." All right, that's my time. Thanks, Brandon.
Laura, sit down. That was fantastic. Very, very good. Very good. Did you let the Benjamin Franklin person in? You need the mic.
Sadly?
You need the mic.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You're good.
Sadly, probably most of those people got in.
That's right.
They had like a 34 on their ACT, you know?
Pretty good.
That's all it takes.
How do you not... this dog died, what if the dog was there, bud?
Oh my God, you would not believe how many dog death stories there are. Anytime my boss walks into my office during file reading season and sees that I'm crying, she's like, "There's another dead dog, huh?" Like that. Those are the only ones that get me, you know?
But not grandma.
No. No way. We all had grandmas, okay?
Well, not everyone.
All right, now you just got real.
Okay. What boys are you talking to that talked about epidermises and then lay in pipe?
Oh, come on. You never said that to a girl in fourth grade?
No.
All right, but you're also wearing a tweed jacket now, so.
That's why I'm married. Yeah. Because I didn't talk animal. Here's my favorite Kid Rock fact. Kid Rock performed with the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, Super Bowl, whatever. And Kid Rock, this was a medley performance. It was MTV sponsored. Kid Rock was doing a thing where he would like toss the microphone back with another guy, and he fucked up and he said "half bowl super time" instead of "halftime Super Bowl," but no one mentioned it because Janet Jackson showed a titty. What sorority were you in?
I was in Kappa Alpha Theta, which is where most of the front row.
Cool.
I'm so glad you asked. Thank you.
Yeah. The show Darlene is on is called The Talk.
I know.
Okay, how do you get...
I said The View, right?
You said not The View.
Yeah,
you
because never said most what it was. People, I think they'd confuse
oh,
that.
Oh, no, I'm not confused. How do you know those guys in the elevator weren't giant High Fidelity fans, and that's why they wanted your photo?
You make a good point.
Thank you so much. How long have you been doing stand-up?
About a year and a half now.
That's it? Good job!
Thank you.
Why'd you start?
Most of my friends had set a deadline for when I could stop talking about one day doing it and finally do it. And then one of my... Do you know Ariel Elias from New Orleans?
Yes,
yes
I do, apparently.
Yeah, Jen says you do. So Ariel and I were Spanish majors together. And one day, we randomly reconnected at a public pool. Like, both of us were there without anybody else. And she was like, "Can I sit down next to you?" And I was like, "Totally." And she sat down and we talked about something completely different, not comedy at all, for like 2 hours. And she had a really cute dog. And then she left. And then a week later, I was like, "Okay, I'm going to go, like, check out the scene, you know?" So I showed up to a mic that's run by Andrew Polk and Cyrus Cooper that you might know about. It's run on Tuesday nights in New Orleans, and I win.
Local plugs.
Yeah, I'm just giving hella plugs to all my peeps in New Orleans. And I showed up, and I was about to go get another beer, and she was like, she was standing there, and she was like, oh, my God, I'm about to go up. And I was like, you do comedy? It was like a whole, it was like a come to Jesus moment, you
know?
That's
awesome.
Yeah, and so then she was like, you should do it. And so then the next week, I was like, I will. So she told me to come to this open mic that happens in New Orleans, and then, you know, history. And here I am with you, so.
And you've been doing this around the country because of your job as well.
Yeah, so with my job, so I've performed in, you know, in Denver, and in Portland, in New York, in Oklahoma City, also.
Did you like Portland when you did Portland?
You know, it's funny. So I was just in Portland. I really, really like, I was just there last week. I really
like. Who
did
you perform with? I was just there
too. I went, do you know, well, so the first time, the first person asked me this, they're like, oh, do you know Sean? Like, I showed up to a mic and a guy was holding a notebook, so I knew he was a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
The first thing he said to me, he was like, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm from New Orleans. He was like, that's still a place. I was like, yeah, all right. Well, going away from you. And then I made an excuse to go back to my car. And then, but then he was like, yeah, do you know Sean Connery? I was like, James Bond? No. He was like, no, that's the guy that runs the mic, looking at me like I was dumb for asking him that question. So he was like, I met him those two nights I was in Portland, and he was really awesome. I don't know who you know.
Curtis Cook?
I don't know if I met
the
him.
One black guy that's doing stand-up in Portland. He's
yes,
amazing.
I did see him.
I feel okay saying that because he says in his bits he's the one black
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he definitely talked that. There was a person that talked about that.
So Andy that was, Main? You know Andy?
I was there for like 42 hours.
I was there for about 42 as well. I got three New Orleans comics and I got three Portland
there
comics.
You go.
Back and
perfect.
Forth. It's interesting. Are you enjoying your time on the road versus New Orleans? Or
I do love my time on the road. My time on the road is just very... I love traveling, and it's very liberating.
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. This is your version of a punk band.
Yes. This is
so great.
Matt's punk band. This is mine.
It's you know? So great. You're
my
very,
punk
very
band
funny.
Goes to like Walt Whitman High School during the day and then comes here at night. So.
Yeah. You have what city are you in tomorrow? Richmond?
No, tomorrow I'm still in D.C.
Okay.
I do like a lot of Maryland, D.C., Virginia. I start off at like a Catholic girls' school tomorrow, and I end at like a Jewish day school, you know? So I hit them all up. All of every.
So you've been in more cafeterias than
oh
anyone in this room.
Oh my God. Cafeterias from like Tegucigalpa, Honduras to Fort Collins, Colorado to like
wait,
Wilmington, Delaware.
Wait, you were in Honduras
Delaware.
During this?
Yeah. Anywhere. You can see Laura traveling anywhere in pretty much the Western Hemisphere.
It's not a bad gig.
No, it's, well, it's, no, it's not bad.
Why is your.
That was for my boss.
Right why there. Is your middle name on Facebook your middle name on Facebook?
Danger?
Yeah.
So my mom, who's here, actually started, you know, clapping for my mom.
Very cool. My supportive dad, parents. That's
my
awesome.
My dad is here too, but he doesn't get any claps, you know? Here we go. My cousin clapped.
Oh my God. You have a whole family.
Whole
That's
fam.
Amazing.
But yeah, my mom started calling me that when I was like 12. Because I really loved Austin Powers. I was obsessed with Austin Powers. And so she started calling me that, and I just was known as that, like, throughout high school. And then I took the PSAT, nobody told me, like, you could qualify for national merit scholarships from this. Like, I just thought it was another test that the state of Virginia was giving to me. And so I put Laura Danger Marr on that. And that's ironically how colleges pick up the names of people. So how like I get names of students now is from the PSAT. So then when I got to Tulane, I got my Tulane application. That's where I went to school and where I work. And I got the application. It was already filled out. It said Laura Danger Marr. And I was like, this is stupid. I can't do this now. So I crossed it out. But then when I got to campus, like everything said Danger. Like my housing, registration, my ID. And my mom was like, you did this on purpose.
That is, no, but that's an amazing name.
Right. I mean, it is a pretty cool name.
What's a cooler name?
I mean, no, there's no
it's
cooler
Danger.
Name.
It's Danger.
I know. And like I got like the, so I was in the marching band.
That's not as cool.
That's not as cool. You're right. You're right. And the French horn is probably the least cool instrument to play. But the drum major saw like on the roster that my name was Laura Danger. And she told my section leader, and they were all like, bullshit, like, let me see some proof. And so I pulled out my ID and I was like, read it and weep.
What tough guys are in marching band
no,
challenging
no.
names?
They were more like, let's see some proof.
Sorry about mispronouncing your last name.
It's okay. I should have told. I meant to tell you, and I forgot.
What danger?
It does have four silent letters in it, so it's hard to keep up.
You're a hockey player. You're absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
People should follow you on Twitter and Facebook because you're never in the same city for very long.
That's true.
Plug that Twitter feed, please.
Yeah, it's at Lauda Danger for any of you who don't follow me.
There
so
you go.
I mostly just talk about
stuff
like the essays that I read out tonight. So.
And your bosses know you do stand-up.
Yes, they do know.
Good luck with that.
Yep, we'll see.
That's weird.
We'll see how it goes.
Good luck with that. Thanks for so much.
Yeah,
for being
thank
here.
You, Brandon, for having
Ladies
me.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Lauda Danger.
Thank you to all my friends and family for coming.
Thank you, sorority. You're very nice people. Hey, everybody, say hello to Johnny. This handsome man is my friend. He goes by the name Johnny Grave. He's a blues musician. He's been on the show multiple times. We're going to do something a little bit different. You're obviously talented. Stop proving it. Okay. Do you want to start with a cover or an original?
I'll go cover.
What's the cover?
It's a Fred McDowell tune.
Fred McDowell?
Yeah.
What's the name of the song?
It's called You Done Told Everybody.
All right, cool. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Johnny Grave.
Though you done told everybody, oh, your neighborhood. Yeah, you done told everybody, oh, your neighborhood. You were a dirty man, treated mommy dead. They didn't mean me no good. I'm going down to the sergeant, my lord. I'm going down to the chief of police. And I'm going down to the sergeant, my lord. I'm going down to the chief of police. Oh, and I since my baby done quit my lawyer, I can't seek no peace. I can't seek no peace. Lord, 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 I can't seek no peace. And I know, pretty baby, know my time won't be long. And I know, pretty baby, know my time won't be long. Oh, now since my baby done quit me, Lord, found that mistake rolling down the road, roll back home. Lord, 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 it'll roll back home, mama. Well, I look down the road, pretty baby, tell me now, Lord, what did I see? I look down the road, pretty baby, tell me now, Lord, what did I see? It was a gang of angels, baby, Lord, they were hollering on, crying after me. Lord, it was hollering, they were hollering. After the devil, a devil in me. Lord, 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 devil inside of me, Lord.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
Johnny.
Yes.
In the song, it mentions getting in trouble with the law. Have you ever been in trouble with the law?
Once.
What happened?
I was caught in the back seat of a BMW two door, in Sligo Creek Parkway off the road.
Should I ask a follow up question or no?
Go ahead.
What were you doing?
I it I was with a girl.
You had a lady friend.
Yes, I had a lady friend, yes. And we both lived at our parents' place, so it was natural for us to sneak off into the woods in the back of her father's BMW.
Yep, that's cool.
Well, I mean, not really.
What were the repercussions? Any?
Well, there was a car that passed by us, with lights on, high beams like in the window, and then just drove back. And he came back around 15 minutes later. And when he passed, like, oh, he thought it was a parked car. And we dodged it. It's fine. But he came back for us later, and then tapping the glass with the flashlight, just like the stereotypical cop thing to do.
Were you decent?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, we were not decent at all, no.
Were you taken in, or were you just warning?
He did the nice cop thing of charging us with trespassing instead of indecent exposure, which was great because it was, again, still living at our parents' house. Our parents both saw the ticket in the mail, and I don't even drive. It was her car, her dad's car. I don't even have a license, and my parents said, you got a ticket from the cops with it's got your name. What were you doing? Where were you? It's trespassing. No, they've just, you know, nothing.
Were they proud of you that at least it was in a BMW?
They have no idea.
Fantastic.
I pray they don't hear this podcast, actually.
Now, could you play an original song?
Sure.
Yeah. What's this one called?
It's called Sucker for a Shuffle.
Perfect.
Well, I roll right down Mount Pleasant Street. I'm gonna find me a bar, grab me a seat. This ain't the only place I call home. Give me a whiskey ginger, give me a beer. Confuse me, baby, seems so clear. Yes, I'm broken, I'm perfect, and yes, I'm alone. Oh, they're moving and shaking on that city street. Oh, the one-night stand, the curios of me. They don't give a damnation about your fine reputation, because all we are is where we belong. I turn off my phone, I'ma turn you on. Give me your best conversation, baby. Give me your song. Honesty among strangers gets me deep. The joker's made the best of it all. Now what you waiting for, babe? Don't delay, don't stall. You see, life is for living, but living ain't cheap. And this ain't nothing but a shuffle heart breakdown. Just a lonesome bug that'll keep you around. But down by the skies on my foolish pride, and I'ma throw back another. I'ma let the good times roll. All
right.
Sunday morning brings a light, it can't stand all the hangover girls that been walking at a slant, looking for Bloody Marys and mimosas at one. See, this ain't a walk of shame, baby, it's a strut. I'ma keep on rocking till all my wheels bust. I was born to live it up, and when I die, I'm gonna burn it down. I throw on my hat and pack up my guitar, and find me tomorrow at a different bar, with the skinny black jeans don't look so mean. We may not fit, baby, but I'ma take you home. Oh, and oh, they're moving and shaking on this city street. All the one-night stands and the curios you meet. They don't give a damnation about your fine reputation, because all we are is where we belong. Oh, and I say all we are is where we belong. Yeah, I say all we are is where we belong. All right.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
Is that song about brunch?
It's watching the brunchers.
There's a line about brunch in that one.
Yeah, I wrote that on. I was walking to. I used to work at a music shop in Tenleytown called Middle Sea Music.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that walking to work on a Sunday morning, and I was like watching people staggering home from the night before. It was fantastic.
Do you think Johnny Cash could have written Sunday Morning Coming Down if he lived in a city that had a lot of brunch?
Absolutely. Actually, yes. Folsom Prison Blues has a line about rich folks and big cigars and drinking coffee. Like, that's close. That's close to brunching.
Do you think Johnny Cash ever uttered the words, let's get a mimosa at brunch?
Bloody Mary, maybe.
Yeah, Bloody Mary, but that was at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
on a Wednesday.
I think June would have said that, but not Johnny, for sure, no.
All right. I noticed that in that song, not nearly as much slide guitar or original. Do you find yourself playing more slide guitar for covers or original or just luck of the draw?
I mean, slide... It's not
a slide guitar. I'm saying you're using a slide.
For those of you who don't play guitar, this is called a slide. This is from a Merlot bottle. The guy named Mr. B makes these out in North Carolina. It's a slide, and you use it to slide up and down the strings, like you would on a dobro or a slide guitar. I go back and forth. I'm playing a lot less slide right now because the room is kind of loud, but it's very easy to go back and forth.
See, I thought you'd play more slide if the room is loud because it's louder. Or is it not louder?
It's not louder. No, this is a lot. You can't do that with the bottleneck because the bottleneck is glass.
It essentially mutes.
And it sounds like shit, so yeah.
I disagree completely. I think it sounds delightful. I'm serious. I like that sound a lot. You want to play a cover? You want to play another cover?
Sure, yeah.
What's this one called?
This is an old song I learned from my dad first, but Hudie Ledbetter. There you go.
Yellow Ledbetter by Pearl Jam.
No. Well, you wake up in the morning, you hear the ding boy. You go marching to the table. You see the same damn thing, knife and fork are on the table. Nothing in my pain. Oh, you say anything about it, mama. Yeah, you trouble off of me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. You let the midnight special, baby, shine a light on me. Now you go up down to Houston, baby. Oh, you better walk right. Oh, you better not stagger, you. And you better not fight. Or share a bit of the rest of you, mama. Yes, I have to take you down. Oh, you say nothing about it, baby. Hey, you jailhouse bound. Let the midnight special, mama, shine a light on me. You let the midnight special, yeah, shine a light on me. Walk about. Yana, come, Miss Rosie. How in the world do you know? I can tell about April and the dress she wore, umbrella on her shoulder, and the piece of paper in her hand. She go on marching up to the cabin, and she said, I want my man. Let the midnight special, baby, shine a light on me. Let the midnight special, mama, shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. You let the midnight special shine every loving light on me.
Very, very good stuff, man.
I love when you try to clap at a microphone. It's still.
I don't want to put that in the audio.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
That's one of the oldest songs you probably play, other than like those like old Irish songs that are only in books and stuff.
Yeah, it's.
What's the newest original song you have? Like, how often do you write a new song?
I hate writing songs.
You should change that.
I write them because I play at bars a lot.
You're like 5-6 nights a week, right?
About 4 a week, yeah. Okay. Like 15 shows a month, so thereabouts, yeah. Okay. And when you play for 3 hours, thanks, guys. When you play for 3 hours, you can either play a shit ton of covers, like you'll see a lot of cover bands doing in Clarendon, or you can just write new
shit.
Was that
a dig in Clarendon or something?
No, and you know what? Honestly, I wanted this guy writes for Buddy's Young Things. I also write for Buddy's Young Things too, and I want to write a piece on the greatest cover bands in DC because I hate cover bands.
That
I can't
would be
stand,
good. I would love that.
I can't stand them, but there's such a
number
market
one
for them.
Leg Warmers.
Leg Warmers and White Ford Bronco. White
Number
Ford
two, White Ford Bronco. They the sold, two best.
They sold out the 930 Club. A cover band sold on a Friday night. They brought 1,300 people
Don't
there.
Don't be mad. Don't.
I'm not. I'm done being mad. I'm done being mad. I want to understand it. I want to figure it out.
See, you want me to tell you? People like reliving certain eras of their youth. The end. They,
and why?
They
but why?
That.
But why seek that over going to a new show? Why
because
see that?
Because you have to pay
of,
attention. It's harder to pay attention than to like.
I don't. I think it's a problem with security. I think they have trouble breaking out of sort of a bubble they're in.
It might
Maybe.
Be that. It's, it might
and it's,
be that.
And it's worth pursuing. It's worth asking.
But then shouldn't you write more of your own original songs?
I do. I'm fighting cover bands by writing more original songs and playing more original shows. I don't play very many covers, but I'm fighting them by doing that. But I want to understand. The cover bands and why they did, because there's a huge audience for it, and there's no reason why their audience can't cross over to be part of my audience. It's the same city. It's a very small city.
I feel like a dad right now to you. Like, son, one day you'll understand. Money is money. Now, you have an amazing show coming up in about 10 days. You're about to play the Black Cat main stage.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, on Halloween night. It's
on Halloween night.
Third annual.
No.
Fourth?
Fifth? Sixth.
Sixth
it's
annual.
It's my sixth year.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
So you were doing this when you were not supposed to legally be in that venue.
Yes.
Great. You're playing on Halloween night.
At the Black Cat.
It's your Halloween extravaganza. Who's on this year?
My band, Johnny Grave and the Tombstones, Humble Fire, nice kids from Mount Pleasant who do great harmonies, and then there's also a six-piece reggae band from the Bronx called Rocky and the Pressers, and they're fucking fantastic. They're wonderful guys. I love those guys dearly.
It's going to be an amazing show.
Yeah, and then in between the bands, there's also burlesque dancers. There's Ruby Rockefeller from Baltimore and Cherie Sweetbottom. She's from D.C. and also Moloch.
She's great.
And Moloch's Midway.
Yes. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's 4.5 hours. There's always something
and
going
you can't,
on.
And you can't host it.
I cannot host it this year.
I wanted you to host it.
You have church night. People love church night.
I mean, I love church night, too. And they're hosting, which is going to be so. Please come buy tickets. I'm not kidding. Like, please buy tickets. Please sell the room out. Please. Please buy
the
tickets.
The last few years have sold out. It's been a great show, and I highly recommend that people go to it.
Thank you.
Why don't you play one of the originals that you're going to play at that show?
Okay.
But he's going to be playing at that show full band, five-piece? So it's four usually, but is there five pieces sometimes? Because you have the harmonica guy.
It'll be a six-piece organ player, too.
You have an organ player now. That makes perfect sense. I'm glad you're growing. So give me an original.
Feel like I broke every bone in my body. My head is swimming for the shore. Think of a way to make it sound better. It all just sounds like a bore. Now I tried my best to make this work out. Looks like you had other plans. I thought me and you had some good going last before you up and ran. Now I ain't gonna miss you, ain't gonna miss you. I'm tired of wasting my time. It's a hard lesson learned, and my candle's been burned at both ends. Now I'm running for whole life. Oh, there's nothing of you left in my place except for all the letters that you wrote. I remember every time that I wrote back to you, but now my words are all shoved down my throat. Oh, I ain't gonna miss you, ain't gonna miss you, and I'm tired of wasting my time. It's a hard lesson learned, and my candle's been burned at both ends. Now I run for whole life.
Hey.
Oh, I was stumbling around and I was drunk in the eyes, and I was trying my best to find another way. Oh, and I scratched my head when you say you're better off dead, and then you asked me back the very next day.
Oh, I ain't gonna miss you. I ain't gonna miss you. And I'm tired of wasting my time. It's a hard lesson learned. My candle's been burned at both ends. Now I'm running for whole life. Oh, I ain't gonna miss you. And I ain't gonna miss you. And I'm tired of wasting my time. It's a hard lesson learned. And my candle's been burned at both ends. Now I'm running for whole life. Yeah, well, I'm running for my life.
Very good. That is a sad song.
Yes.
That is a sad song.
That's a sad song.
Were you in a sad place when you wrote that?
I was feeling better than sad, but I was severely hungover. I was really hungover.
Oh, so that is not a relationship song.
That's a relationship song, and it was at the end of the relationship, but I...
Oh, so that's real.
That was like 48 hours after a breakup. And about 3 hours after like being able to like stand during a hangover.
Does the person that song is about know it's about them?
If she heard it, I'm sure she'd know. But okay. I haven't talked to her in about a year or so.
Has that come up yet in your songs?
Has what come up?
The subject finds out it's about them.
Oh, that can be fun or not fun.
Has it ever been fun?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. There was end up back in more BMWs, man. That's good.
I mean, actually, no. Context is off, but the I wrote one about my dad, and then he found, or I learned one from my dad, and I worked him into it, and then he heard it later and really got a kick out of it.
I love the fact that you and your dad like get along, and without him, you don't play this instrument. That's so great.
I was very fortunate to be in a musical family when I was born.
Such different backgrounds. I'm glad we're friends. I'm serious. It means a lot to me. Okay, this is what's going to happen. Johnny's going to play one last song to close the show. I'm going to leave the stage and buy Johnny a drink because Johnny does not drink before his sets.
I don't.
That's how you know he's not a real blues man. So,
hey, fuck off.
All right. What do you want to drink?
Whiskey.
Please. I will get you a whiskey. Just
on the rocks.
On the rocks. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, one last time, put your hands together for Johnny Grave. Johnny, play a song, buddy.
I'm going to play one last song, and this is time for audience participation, so if you guys would not mind, if you can sing, and I know there are, I can see some singers in the audience right now, if you can please sing as loudly as possible. I'm not even kidding. This is a song called The Hammer. Thank you all so much for sticking around, folks. We love you.
Paul and Silas bound in jail. I had no money for the gold and bail. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on. Hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on. When I married, wore three links of chain. And every link was a baby's name. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on. Hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on.
Hey.
Well, the only chain that I can stand is the link of hand in hand. Keep your hand on your hammer, you hold on. Hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on your hammer, you hold on. It's remarkably easy. Hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on your hammer. Hold on. It's like six words in that. You want to try to sing it? Maybe like two of you. All right. There we go. Hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on. I see hands moving, but no lips moving. Let's try it again. There we go. Hold on, hold on. There we go. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on. Sing it loud. Here we go. Hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on. One last time. Let me hear you clear it. All right, there we go. Hold on, hold on. There you go. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on. Keep your hand on your hammer. One last time. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on. One more time. Keep your head in your hammer. All right. Keep your hand on your hammer. You hold on.